This week, we'll be covering the month of November's anime news. Plus, we'll pick up on episodes 5 and 6 of your favorite shows.
Welcome to Anime Dropouts.
Three, two, one. Four for four podcast episodes. Welcome back, guys. Welcome all you dropouts. My name is Tin Dang, and I am joined by my co-host.
Hey, what's up? It's Joey Min, Art School Dropouts.
And as you can hear, we now have new microphones.
Oh, yeah. That asthma.
That asthma intro. It's my favorite thing. It's just, welcome to Anime Dropouts.
That's so good, guys. Are you going to talk about this? I mean, if you guys do have to know, we're filming at like 5 in the morning, so maybe we have to be a little bit more quiet. Yeah. Well, I don't know why we're here at school at 5 in the morning. Oh, I guess, yeah, that makes sense. We're here.
So we are two anime delinquents here to give you an after-school lesson on anime. We've got the latest in anime news, skits, and game shows. So whether you're new or a veteran, there's always something new to learn. All right, so how's your anime week been, Joey?
Oh, it's been pretty cool. I just got caught up with all of these other animes, you know, and all the other animes to watch, like Baki and then other other things.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I've been more into reading for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you've suggested some pretty decent manga. Yeah.
Okay, so I've been reading, and I will recommend The Way of the House Husband. It's a pretty fairly recent manga, but it's awesome. It's fun. It's about an ex-Yakuza member that becomes a housewife or house husband.
House husband. Yeah.
House husband is more right.
It sounds like a really, like the concept alone sounds really cool.
Yeah, I feel like eventually it'll get an anime adaptation since it won awards already.
Jeez.
Okay. And moving on, we do have a shout out to give out for Moe Shop.
Ooh.
They've been providing us with music for the last 4 episodes, so thank you to them.
Yeah, thank you so much, Moe Shop.
Yeah, so make sure to check them out on SoundCloud or Bandcamp. Okay, so Joey, you ready for some news?
Oh, okay, let's do it.
Okay, so let's start off with some news at first. There's a lot that comes by every 2 weeks, so first off, New Fruits Basket's anime in 2019.
Wait, it's new? I thought they were
They're going to do a new series. I don't know if it's going to be either like a sequel, prequel, or they'll do like just a full adaptation, but
yeah, I didn't read it. I thought it said that I assumed when I skimmed through the title was that they're bringing back Fruits Basket on Netflix or whatever it was.
Oh, okay. So, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a new adaptation, but you know, it's like the number one shoujo anime of all time. So before like Naruto came in and took like the number one spot, it was like the bestseller in the US.
I mean, geez, wait, have you seen it?
Yeah.
God, is that like one of those like guilty pleasures for me to say that I watched that?
I don't think it's a guilty pleasure. A lot of people have seen it.
Okay. I don't know. For a dude of my taste, you wouldn't think that I would have watched that and squeed, like, weaved out a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look like a piece of tofu, so I'll watch anything.
But that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. And in other news, have you seen the Heaven's Feel Part 2 trailer?
Oh, not yet. Oh, not yet. I know I kind of want to wait.
Okay.
But is it hype, the trailer? Check it out later.
It's great. Yeah, so the first movie already came out. The second one is, I think, sometime in early next year, and it'll be out in theaters as well.
Yeah. Oh man, dude, that's something to look out for.
Okay, and I know you're excited for this one. Sentai Filmworks announced at Anime New York City. That was the convention in New York that just happened this past weekend.
Oh, right.
They licensed the Danmachi film and a Made in Abyss compilation film.
God. I know we were just talking about that like last night.
Yeah.
In the car. Try it. Oh man, Made in Abyss compilation movie. Huh?
I've never said no so many times.
That it's like so good, but it's also so sad. It kind of leaves you off, not truly depressed, but it's like you're there.
Right. You know there's an inevitable end.
Yeah, and I think that's what. Oh man, can't suggest that to mom to watch.
But all three of these movies will be out in the US theaters early next year.
I'm actually kind of, are they going to continue the Danmachi like storyline, or is it just a recap of the show?
I think this movie might be after the events of the first season, but eventually they'll probably do a second season since it was pretty popular.
Which is kind of funny. It's been like years now, right?
It's been years.
So yeah, I was just thinking that maybe they should have made a second season by now. It was kind of formulaic, but I liked it.
Yeah. So we've had horrible isekai. Isekai with useless teammates, isekai with a slime. And now we've got an isekai with a protagonist that just takes no bullshit. And that is Rising of the Shield Hero. It's a really popular light novel, and I think nobody...
Oh, shit.
And nobody that just watches anime would be aware of it, but it's a really hype series that's coming out next year.
Rising of the Shield Hero?
Yeah.
So I guess Goblin Slayer really wouldn't be an isekai, would it?
Goblin Slayer wouldn't be an isekai because he's already in that world.
Yeah, but even though, yeah, I guess so. But it kind of like, I feel like they're also kind of referencing that it's all like, it's like the dice roll thing that they're doing, that it's kind of still, I don't know. Maybe
it's more almost like D&D.
Right.
Yeah, but they do, I'd like Goblin Slayer
that
now.
That dude doesn't, wait, can we curse this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that motherfucker doesn't take no bullshit. Yeah, that's.
But Rising of the Shield Hero is a really cool light novel. So it's about four characters that get transported into this mythical realm, and their systems of video games that they play apply to their magic world there. So there's a spear hero, a sword hero, a bow hero, and the main character, of course, is a shield hero. And everybody hates him. Everybody hates him.
He's a sword and board guy? Like, he's basic character? Like sword
no,
and
he
shield.
Is just shield.
He's just a shield?
Just a shield.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and everybody hates him. They hide all the power-up secrets from him. They don't let him level up. And
what the f***?
Yeah, it's all the characters are insufferable.
Oh, but it's not a comedy, right? It's not like oh my god, I forgot that isekai with the useless girls with Aqua and I forgot.
Oh, Konosuba.
Oh, Konosuba, right? Yeah. So it's not comedy like Konosuba.
It's sort of, there's lighthearted comedy moments, but it's very kind of like a revenge revenge anime.
That kind of sounds fun in its own right. Yeah, definitely. Is there like a trailer out or anything? Or?
There is one trailer out, but the spoilers are very light. So you'll get like just a glimpse of what the characters are.
Rise of the Shield Hero, huh?
Yeah. So that look out sick. For that next year. It's probably going to be one of my favorites.
Spring? Yeah. Spring one?
I'm calling it now.
That sounds pretty good.
And for the last news, Netflix is offering more animated titles, and three of them are by Japanese studios. One is Cagister of an Insect Cage. It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic show with humans turning into murderous insects, and it follows this young couple trying to survive.
Oh, so it's kind of like a horror, like zombie thing, or is it kind of like Terraformers?
It's more like, I guess, insects taking over humans as like hosts.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Ew.
It's weird.
Wait, have you seen Terraformers? I know that has nothing. Mm-mm. Oh, okay. That was like a... That anime was like a 4chan meme when it was a manga. Then anime came out. It's pretty hype. Well, it's kind of slow, but it's pretty hype.
What's it about?
Basic story is, I think the Earth is getting overpopulated. So the people of Earth wanted to terraform Mars. So, you know, they could colonize it. So they, like 50 years ago, they sent like a spaceship of insects to like help terraform and there's a cockroaches in there and stuff, right? Because, you know, cockroaches could live in any... Whatever, the science was that, you know, it could help, you know, add whatever to Mars, right?
Yeah.
And 50 years later, these cockroaches like evolved into super strong humanoid. Like it's hopefully we don't get any flack for this, but like on 4chan of the manga, it's like really, it looks racist. Like the cockroaches grow up to be like basic stereotypes of like old, like, you know, the cartoons of black people.
Oh, so like more like,
yeah, like the big, they're really like, they're just really like, I mean, because they're humanoids for some odd reason, these cockroaches became humanoid things, and they're super super strong, and they're super buff, and they're super black, and they have like big lips. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? But like the people that would, so like I guess like the astronauts or whatever that would go to Mars to try to like take it back, they're all infused with some sort of insect gene. Yeah, so like once like one fighter, she's like a bullet, like her thing is a bullet ant, so she could like grip people really really hard and crush. It was kind of weird. I don't know.
So like insect superpowers for
people. And it's like a big bug fighting. Everything about it. Like one is like a huntsman spider, some dude that so he could like run really, really fast and hit really, really hard at like short bursts or something like that.
Okay. I think I'll pass on that since I've lived in New York for like 16 years. So the flying cockroaches are enough for me.
Flying cockroaches? Yeah, that's true.
Okay. And the second one is going to be Yasuke, based on the historical figure that served under
Oda Nobunaga. Yeah.
It takes place during the Warring States period. And LaShawn Thomas from the Boondocks is actually directing it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, and it's a Japanese production?
Netflix is offering it. It's under a Japanese studio, but LaShawn Thomas is going to be the producer, director, and
that's
everything.
That's sick. That's going to be smart, I think.
Yeah.
Love the Boondocks.
So very Boondocks feel, Afro Samurai inspired too. I'm excited for it.
Definitely. That sounds sick, actually.
Yeah. The third one is going to be an Altered Carbon feature based on the Netflix show.
But it's an animated one?
But it's an animated one.
Oh, that's kind of funny because I mean, if the people listening to us don't know, like, you know, Art School Dropouts, right? Like, we had a DL here, and he was part of, I think he was part of Altered Carbon. Like, I think he did, like, stunts for it, or at least his friends did or something. Mm. Wow, that's sick. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I think Netflix is doing kind of cool things with the whole anime thing. Like, I just watched the second season of Castlevania, and that's sick.
Yeah.
That's really, really sick. Like,
I'm surprised that they had enough to pull from a video game to make into an anime.
Yeah, it was the third game, I think. Like, the third game, Simon's Quest. Well, no, what am I talking about? But yeah, there's a lot more to it. Like, it goes to like Castlevania 64, and so the story is huge. I really like it, but how they directed it and how it was presented, definitely. I think for people that maybe that watch Netflix, like a lot of people that probably don't watch anime and they might see it, and, you know, like they watch it, it's still kind of approachable because it wasn't too crazy anime. Like, the shots could have been done if like they did it live action.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really good.
I'm kind of excited for Netflix just pouring in money, even though they're taking like a bit of a loss current run.
Really? I thought they
Well, they're losing a bit of money just investing into it, but I feel like it'll pay off in the end.
Yeah, I think that's what they happened before too. Like, when they first started, you know, then they made it back after, like, people were like, oh my god, this is such an amazing idea, right? So
So the last news for today is that there's going to be a Pacific Rim animated series based on the movie.
Oh god. I guess that's cool. I don't know, I didn't like Pacific Rim too much, so.
I liked the first movie. The second movie was a bit
sequely.
It was the curse of sequels.
I guess, yeah, you can't really. Del Toro didn't direct the second one, right?
No, he didn't direct the second one, but I think he helped on it.
Okay. Kind of loses that magic, that style, right? That only he could bring, I guess.
Del Totoro.
Del Totoro, yeah. That's so cute. I still like that story.
All right, so now we're on to fall 2018 anime. So let's mix things up a bit and start off with That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime.
Oh, one of my favorites.
So episode 5 is called Hero King Gazelle Dwargo, and episode 6 is called Shizu. And the last time we got left off, Rimuru is told by a fortune teller that his destined one is this mysterious girl that's wearing a mask.
All right. Yeah, that's where we are, right?
So currently we get interrupted at the Elf Titty Bar by this minister.
I'm sorry.
Elf Titty Bar is like my favorite phrase of the week.
I feel like that's like a... You'd never hear that phrase again.
Yes, I gotta get my uses out of it now.
Yeah, all right.
So this minister that ordered the swords interrupts the fun, and one of the dwarves gets angry enough because he spilled a drink on Rimuru on purpose that he punches the minister. Just sucker punches him out of the way.
Oh, so this is the episode we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, snap.
Yeah, and this is the episode where they all go on trial to be executed.
Execute?
The jury recommends the execution. Right. But instead, the Dwarf King Dwargo exiles all of them so that the dwarves can go and help Rimuru build his village.
Right. Yeah, it was a cool question too. Like, you know, like something like, I will drop any charges if you come back to my service. And like the dwarf was like, I found a new master.
Yeah.
Like, that's sick.
And I'm glad that we don't fall into that typical trope where they're the underling of the king tries to, you know, backstab everyone by lying. I mean, comes in like in a full cast and everything for getting punched.
But yeah, no, I think they are setting up the character to, you know, like the slime character to be this really, really, I don't know, like almost like a god, right?
Right.
But it's so far, it's not abrasive. I kind of really like how the pacing of how the story is, you know? Because like you would see on the... on the intro, you see his human form, but you would only, like, it's only now, right? After like six, seven episodes or something like that, right?
Yeah, where we'll eventually get there.
Yeah, we'll get there, which is, I kind of like the fact that it's didn't jump into it that quick.
Right, know? The pacing is slow enough that it feels like an adventure and you care for the characters.
Right. I mean, because like even, like he's only been in it for like two episodes, but fucking love Gopta. That dude is such a trip to like watch on screen. So yeah,
because
yeah,
he's just so round. Yeah. But he's competent.
Yeah, exactly. So like, yeah, definitely, like probably right now it's one of my favorite fall animes, right? Like,
yeah. Okay, and for episode 6, Shizu. So the Guildmaster sends this cave group to investigate the forest since all the monsters there are now more active with the Storm Dragon gone.
Actually, you know what? That's kind of nuts, though. Like, the guild would just send them to, like, the Storm Dragon's lair? Like, don't they know the Storm Dragon was sealed there?
Oh, I think for this part, they know that the Storm Dragon's already disappeared.
Yeah, but that's kind of nuts. They would just send these... These three have to be somewhat competent if you really think about it then, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of them's a sword, swordsman, the other's a mage. They've got, you know, a decent group going.
Yeah, but like, I would feel like, you know, to send them in the lair of a legendary monster that affects a whole region of monsters, I would assume in my head that these guys are pretty capable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way of life, but they get joined by this mysterious masked girl named Shizu.
Yeah, Shizu.
Yeah, and she ends up being the destined one that Ramiro is talking about.
Right. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? Like, when you see her, like, oh, okay, there we go. There's the reveal, you know?
So the group gets attacked by giant ants, and Ramiro comes and saves the day. Although we see that Shizu's pretty capable with her fire magic.
Wait, did he save? I think Shizu, like, took care of all of them.
He comes in at the end for the last giant ant.
Oh.
She understands that he's also mysterious as well. They have a common connection, and it's actually that they're both from Japan and right, got sent to this world.
And I think it's because of, like, Arimiru said something, like, from a game. Like, I don't know which game. Maybe it's a Dragon Quest game. I don't know what that is, but...
Oh, yeah. They understand, like, he said one line that reminded her of this game.
Yeah, or something like that, yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. But you also find out in that episode that she was, like, she was like pre-World War I, like Japanese.
Right. Her village got attacked by carpet bombing.
Yeah, right. And I feel like it was World War I. Because, like, you know, from like the imagery that they had, I totally forget. But that's why I was like, but Dragon Quest wasn't there yet. Like, how would this girl know about slimes?
I mean, I'm guessing their timelines got a bit wonky, but.
Right.
We now know that she got summoned by the special procedure that Veldor was talking about, where
right,
30 mages take like a week or something to summon
somebody from another world.
Yeah, but when they get summoned into that world, they are cursed.
Oh, just to be, yeah, because they're cursed to be a slave to whoever summoned them, right?
Right, just to be used as a weapon. And we see that the way a person dies and gets transported into this world is how their powers are represented.
Yeah, but like, you know how like they never really explain why you get transported to this world or to that world after right, you die? Or you, holy crap, what if that's like the concept of maybe there isn't like really heaven or hell, your soul is just recycled in other realities? Oh, that would suck.
Unless you get the great sage skill.
But he remembers his past life though.
Yeah. And she does too, but not to the extent that Ramiro does.
Because it seems like she's been living in that world for a while.
Yeah.
Because, like, I kind of forgot how the scene went, but Rimuru pretty much knew that she was Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talked, and she's like, oh, he's like, here, you could take a look at my whatever. Like, my memories of what Japan became. So I guess that was kind of cool for her.
Yeah, it was a really touching moment where she sees, like, the future of Japan is, like, prosperous.
Right, like after the big war, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's something to really look forward to when it comes out, yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to another heavy hitter, Zombieland Saga.
Yes. Yeah, I almost feel like this show has like, it's gonna have like some overarching crazy story. Like right now, they're just showing us like a really small storyline of what like the world is, then you like find out some crazy shit that's happening in the world or something.
Yeah, and it's also more mysterious that cremation is the usual method in Japan for taking care of the deceased ones, except all these girls were not cremated. And they all come from different time periods.
Right.
It's freaky. But it's funny.
But the world, but also the world itself, though, they know that zombies happen. It's like, I think it's like a, almost like a common thing in this world, I feel like.
They're aware that of zombies.
Yeah.
Okay, so episode 5, The Nice Bird Saga in Your Heart, and episode 6, Because It's Sentimental Saga. So episode 5 is a pretty fun episode. They get hired out to this chicken restaurant to do a commercial.
Well, I really like the whole, it fits the whole biker gang. Like they just go to like some KFC place like all the time. Dude, I love that shit.
But for us in like Jersey, it's like hitting up the diner instead right? in the middle of the night.
I think it's really, really cool that, you know, even though like there are certain elements in this world, in this in the Zombieland saga that like it still permeates throughout a lot of time, right? Because isn't the biker girl like what, like 30 years like prior to the main character or something like that, at least?
Yeah. She's about, I think, the second oldest, and I think the oldest would be Yugiri from like
ancient Japan.
I mean, she got beheaded, so she's probably the oldest.
Oh, that's, oh my god, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, she has a scar like right across her neck.
Shoot. And she was
what do you call him again? She's a,
what, geisha? I don't think she's a geisha. I think she was full out prostitute.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. I think she's a full out prostitute then.
Well, what weren't they called like comfort girls or something in Japan?
Like now? I mean,
not now. I don't know about
that. I mean, what is it? oh, shit. Oh, my God. I forgot. I forgot what they were.
It's all good. Moving on.
Yeah. I don't want to explain too much of my knowledge.
Moving on, though. I like Yamadate so much. Every single episode, she has her own antics going on within the episode.
It's like she has her own like little storyline, you know? Like besides the whole, it's like, yeah, like it makes the cast so much better. Even though she doesn't have like speaking lines, it makes her, what she does, her own character, right? And I think we already talked about another previous podcast that the voice actress for her is actually the original voice for Sailor Moon.
Yeah. I'm hoping she's doing all the grunts and all the yelling.
That's why I appreciate it. I'm like, wow, that's, I mean, for what it is, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, their voice acting must be really fun. Between all the characters, Yamadate, Kotaro is fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah, actually. Yeah. I mean, I know I keep saying yeah, but like I think this anime itself is like has a lot of heart, just really fun ideas to show, you know? Like I just love it. It makes you smile, like the show, and it like the comedy is very slapstick Japanese, you know, just the whole yelling at one person, then he gets slapped back, and then he's just like rubbing the floor of the dirt or something like that. Like it's funny, but you know, I like it. I think it transcends boundaries or language barriers, you know.
Yeah, and speaking of endearing scenes, they go into this kind of like this Olympic event.
Oh, the God Olympics.
Yeah, the God Olympics. It's very Running Man-esque, very Japanese game show.
Right. And I thought that was cute. It feels very, because they already showed the fact that it's a very, saga's very provincial. It's not really as,
not as modern.
Not as modern or something. So they have like, kind of like the whole like provincial type of like, festivities, kind of like that. They're just, it's got Olympics, I guess. They're just doing stuff in the mud.
Yeah, it's a fun small town.
Yeah, and I thought that was cute, like the whole concept of like, oh yeah, trying to make an idol in a very small, you know, town.
Yeah, and we see all the girls' job except for the manager. He just glides on through the entire mud track.
Well, wait a minute though. So not everybody's from Saga. Like, I assume that they were all from Saga.
I feel like they were... Oh, that's interesting. I feel like they could probably have come from Saga during their different time periods.
Right.
But tried to be like either idol or famous and try to move out or something.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
And for episode 6, because it's Sentimental Saga, I'm actually glad we're getting more backstory, and it kind of builds up over time. You see that the biker girl, she has like a cool gang, and she's more of a leader than any of the other characters, which is really nice.
Yeah. Oh, right. Like, even though, and she even explains it how even though it's not really her thing, the whole idol thing, she doesn't know what the hell's going on. She knows how to keep people together because that's her strength. Right. And I thought it was pretty cool. Or like, she wants to, if that's the way to conquer Japan, she'll do it.
Right.
Like, I thought that was kind of cool.
And their backstories are actually really interesting, and almost, it's very tragic. Like, Junko, I think she's like from the 60s or later. She dies in a plane crash. And in that way, all her views of the world are much more traditional than the other girls.
Oh, all right, because she was an idol.
Right.
Wait, is everybody like some, except, okay, I don't know if the biker girl is considered to have a personality of an idol, but like, I feel like everybody has some sort of, well, we don't know what Tay is yet, but.
Legendary.
Yeah, but she's legendary, right? But we all know that, I feel like everybody has had some sort of ties to the entertainment business, except for the biker girl and the main girl, right?
Mm, right.
Oh, wow, yeah. I mean, we know one was like, you know, geisha / prostitute. Then I think after her is who?
After her, I think, would be the girl that died in the plane crash.
Oh, right.
And then after that, it would be Lily. She's kind of like the childhood idol.
Yeah, so because we do know, like, it's 10 years after the death of the main character, right?
Yeah, I think I and the main character, Egghead,
are the same. And the same. Are the same. Time. Yeah. Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I just really feel like it's, I don't know, it's like, I guess my analogy is like Maze Runner. I don't know if you ever watched that movie, where it seems like it's something really small, but then there's something really big going outside of what we're presented as the viewers. You know, like, there must be something crazy. That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, I feel like there's more of an overarching backstory than we're led on to believe. I think it'd be crazy if, like, every prefecture has, like, a group of zombies trying to be like an idol group.
That'd be nuts. Yeah. That would be nuts.
Okay, and on to the next series. The only romance in our pick so far.
Oh, here we go again.
Episode 5 is called All the Lies I Have for You. Episode 6, The World You Chose.
Okay.
So, first impressions?
I mean, okay. I suppose the show is growing on me. Like, I still really dislike the fact, like, how it's written for the guys specifically, like, super, super smooth. But I really do like the sci-fi idea of how their emotions actually affect the world. And you also know that there is something alluding to it, like a bigger story with him being pulled into everybody's supernatural problems, right? Like, I kind of like that, you know? It's, yeah.
Right. Everyone's adolescent syndrome manifests in different ways. And I feel like almost his adolescent syndrome is kind of like drawing in people.
Yeah, like he's like some sort of catalyst or something.
Yeah, almost. It's like he draws in people who kind of break the atmosphere.
Yeah, and somehow he's the chosen one to help him break about him. Christ. I mean, it seems like the episode starts out like, I think, yeah, he's explaining to
Mai that now he has to pretend to date Tomoe in order to break out of her adolescent syndrome.
Right. And which is kind of funny because, like, she knows it, but I'd be like, oh, okay, it's fine. I have to go to a shoot anyways to film a drama. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I think it's nice that she still gives him shit for it, but
yeah,
it's a good trope. Well, it's a good breaking of tropes that at first they had a misunderstanding, but they're able to power through it. You know, you always see in anime, oh my God, you were cheating on me because you jumped on this girl, and then the girl runs away. And then you got like 10 more episodes just to get it to an actual conclusion.
Yeah, this is, yeah, you're right. Because, like, they actually, he talked about it, told her what's going on right now. And, of course, she understands it because, like, she just went through her own adolescent thing. Like, okay, I don't like it, but, you know, because she, as she was walking away, she's like, oh, I hope this pretend doesn't become serious or something. You know, I thought, yeah, it's cute. It is kind of growing on me. Like, you know, I do like Tomoe. Like the girl, the character, like she's, I guess, yeah, like she's very cute, like very, like her character.
Yeah, for being glued to her phone all day, she does have good intentions. She just wants friends. She just wants to get along with other people.
Yeah, it's almost relatable. It doesn't really matter what part of the world you are in. Like it makes sense, you know, right. What she's saying. Like I guess that, but I get what was her problem was that she doesn't. I guess she was like iffy about how she feels or what's going on or something like that. Like, I don't like her emotions don't match up with her decisions. Was that what it is? Kind of.
Right. They touched on it a little bit with that Laplace's demon concept. And yeah. we can try to explain it, but we're not psychologists.
Because like at the end of the episode or like when he's talking to his scientist friend, right, she's explaining. Oh,
Futaba, yeah.
Yeah, Futaba, right. She's like, oh, she's, or whoever this demon is, just rolling the dice over and over again until she gets the...
Right. She knows the present, she knows the past, and she wants to affect the future, whether it's possible or not to change the future.
I think I think the previous episode, they were talking about how... observation, like the... observer's theory and physics, where reality closes down on depending on like the observer's point of view, right? So that's kind of cool, and she's trying to find the right future that she wants, I guess.
Yeah, and we get to see a lot more character development as they spend time with each other. We see that one fight scene where Sakata goes for the fake out and kicks the baseball guy's leg.
Yeah, and the shin, and then like,
and I think his line is the coolest way to say "I'm a virgin."
What are you talking about? I'm a virgin.
Yeah. And then just storms out. But as soon as he's out of view, he just starts booking it.
Which is kind of funny. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know how it is in Japan right now. But like, wow, that's like a... I wonder if that's a thing. Like people, you know, you're 16 years old. Like, oh, do you have sex? Like, that's bad. I'm like, what? Like, man, like, I don't know. That's kind of funny how that's their thing, though. And it's like, you know, like, oh my god, she's a slut because she like sleeps with her boyfriend. Like, how does that make, is that kind of,
it's weird how they're liberal in some parts of relationships and then just really conservative in others.
Like, it's her boyfriend. I mean, who else would you sleep with? Like, and why would that make her a slut? That kind of makes kind of a, you know, a devoted significant other, I would assume. All right,
so with this,
because I wouldn't know because I'm a virgin too.
Yeah. Same.
All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so their last day together is this beach episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're having snow cones, you know, splashing water on each other. Typical.
Oh, typical. I want to do that. I want to hang out with my girlfriend at a beach and splash water each other and like in an extended period of time and have fun. I've never done that. I've never splashed water below my knees to someone and had fun. Maybe if I was in a pool and the water was chest high, sure. I don't know. That always makes me laugh, I think.
We're also from New Jersey and our beaches are
terrible.
Terrible. There was that article that came out like a year ago where they found like a high amount of fecal matter in New Jersey beaches.
Oh, thank God. I don't go to the beach. That's funny.
Yeah. So in the end of this day, they shake hands on it. It's like, okay, after today, you're breaking up with me. That's what we'll say to everyone. Right. And we'll shake hands on it and just be friends afterwards.
If you guys didn't know, like, they're lying about the relationship to her. It's really mostly her friends, right?
Right.
Just so she doesn't get asked out by a guy?
So she doesn't get asked out by that guy and she won't seem as, you know, like lonely. She wants friends.
Oh, right. Never mind. There's that whole thing. Like the guy that likes her, her best friend likes.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't want her best friend to feel bad by turning down the guy because she doesn't even like him, but it's like, it's almost kind of like,
yeah, there's weird, this weird love pentagon going on here. However, we do see a twist in the episode where Sakata wakes up and he repeats the same beach episode day four times.
Yeah. He realizes something about
it. Yeah, he realizes that either he's repeating the day because of something he did, or it's actually Tomoe and she's lying about not knowing that it's the fourth day repeated.
Right. And I mean, it was kind of, I guess it was kind of obvious. I mean, I feel like in every rom-com, after that whole thing where he protects her, you know, her prudence, I guess, like, she had to fall for him. After that scene, I was like, come on. This guy, man. And he's like, oh, I can't believe you fell in love with me. Like, you motherfucker. Like, you goddamn motherfucker, right? Mm. And that's really the reason why she, because, like, she fell in love with him. So she kind of doesn't want the fake relationship to end. So that's why the day keeps repeating so she could keep having that.
Right. So we see the culmination of all this right by the pier where it's raining and she's just yelling like, I hate you. But in actuality, like, her feelings have to match what she wants to do. So she'll just go outright and say it, like, she did love him, but
or still loves him.
Just, this is not the future that they can have because the present and past have already been written. It's
oh God. It's wait, now like you say it that way, that shit's a lot. Oh man, I like her even more, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because you actually watched the episodes like very close to the recording, and I stew on it for like a week.
Holy crap.
And think about it.
Right. Oh shit. Wait. Whoa. Wait. No, I don't like that. I don't like when you're saying like the past and present is already written, but like the whole point is that she has the power to pick a future. It's just that he also is able to affect her decision. That's the problem, I think, for her.
Yeah, but that's what's in the present. That's why she dice rolls to that beach episode all the time, because she wants to change what's happening that day to affect the outcome.
Right, but if he didn't have that power of being able to know, she could have changed it too. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's sad, but it makes Tomoe much more likable.
Yeah.
But after the resolution of all this, we get pulled back. It's now not even the beach episode. It's not even the first day they met. It's all the way back to the first time he asks Mai out. So they can actually have a proper relationship.
Right.
And so, Tomoe,
and he gets like the pass. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it turns out well for him, I guess.
Yeah, it turns out well for both of them. Because now Tomoe, she tells that guy, hey, I don't want to date you at all. She outright says it. And she can build a relationship with her friends, her classmates. But you see in that ending scene.
But that's the funny thing, though. Like, the actual outcome is what she was trying to avoid the very first time. She doesn't want to tell this guy no because it would make her best friend feel bad. And she still did it anyways. And I'm like, okay, well. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah. I did like how this episode concluded, though, since now she has friends. Sakata and Mai can have an actual relationship.
Right.
And we see like this very tongue-in-cheek explanation with Futaba, our scientist girl, like, oh, why was it out of everyone else in the world that I would collide with her? And it's like, oh, did you guys have any physical contact, as in like two particles colliding?
Yeah.
And they actually did, because when they kicked each other's butts.
Yeah, that is kind of cute. But it also kind of also sets up Futaba's story, because like, you know, you're gonna see it in like in a later episode.
Yeah, I feel like eventually they will have an adolescent syndrome that affects her, since Sakuta's friend that works at the cafe with him is also, you know, in love with Futaba.
We know Futaba's in love with his best friend.
Oh, right, my bad. So Futaba likes him, but he doesn't know it. So he's like that.
But see, the thing is, like, when they were in the bus or the subway, I think like he was already kind of inferring like he knows that Futaba is in love with him.
Oh shit!
You know, because when he was like when Sakuta was asking questions, he pretty much answered like, "And you know this girl likes you, right?" Like, oh, he knows.
Oh, that's fucking crazy. Like, everything gets tied in well, so together.
Yeah, it is kind of well-written. So that's why I'm saying, like, it's growing on to me. I still dislike how smooth this guy is, but but yeah, no, the story itself is pretty well-written.
Yeah. Now I'm excited to see Futaba's story and also the childhood girl that he was in love with. She actually appears off, right? At the end of the episode.
Yeah, and she looks younger than him. That's how I feel like.
She looks the same as his... as in his memories, when we saw that first cutscene.
Right. Oh, well, okay. So that's, I guess, kind of what I mean too, right? Like, he grew up and she stayed the same.
Right. Know? So maybe her adolescent syndrome has some kind of, like...
Everybody's stuck in time stuck of some time, sort, yeah. Right? It's nuts.
Oh, my God. I hope we don't go back in time to back when he met her.
Oh, my God. That's like some erased thing.
This is erased now.
Right. But yeah, no, definitely good. You guys should check that out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to every episode now. It's drawn me in. Like, I grew to like it.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, I did too.
All right. For our last anime series that we'll discuss today is actually Goblin Slayer.
Hell yeah.
Episodes 5 and 6. And on a side note first, I found out that there is a light novel / manga on the first couple of years of Goblin Slayer's like life, right after, you know, he escapes the village when the goblins attack.
Oh, okay. So, because like, I think, I don't know which. So what's the name of the episodes for 5 and 6?
5 is Adventures in Daily Life and 6 is Goblin Slayer in Watertown.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I think, okay, so it doesn't happen in this one. But yeah, so I think I saw a couple of like memory scenes where I guess you hear like a voice of somebody that taught him how to hunt goblins.
Right. So if you guys are into like more backstory and more description of how Goblin Slayer learns to fight, then check out Goblin Slayer Side Story Year 1. So we get a small glimpse of the simple life of Cowgirl and Goblin Slayer when he's not out on quest. So he'll help her come into town, bring all the supplies in, you know, sell all the goods.
I think that was cute. Or that scene where they were like, yeah, just helping out, you know, whatever. And like the party comes back up and it's like, hey, do you have any more cheese? Like, that's adorable, man. I love the lizard mage. I think he's a battle mage.
Oh, and I looked it up. Lizards do not eat cheese.
Like, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I needed to fact check.
What if I feel like that would mess up their internal organs.
Right.
Like, the digestive system.
Since we are like, I guess, some of the only
animals that eat other mammals' milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, they do not have the digestive enzymes to eat cheese. So Lizards do not dream of a melted cheese wheel.
Melted cheese. But he's so cute. Like, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I feel like they're setting it up so that they'll be like the perfect D&D group together. You have like the tank, the off tank / DPS. You have the mage, the priestess, yeah, and the archer.
So, I mean, yeah, because, like, the lizard fits both roles. He's kind of, like, somewhat of a mage, but he's also, like, he's a battle mage. Like, he also, like, fights hand-to-hand.
Yeah, he's brawlic as hell, too.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would assume the dwarf would have been, but that was just mage. He's just a range DPS mage. Mm. Yeah.
And now we see that the priestess has been promoted to Obsidian 9.
All right. So she's not a... Was she porcelain before?
Yeah, porcelain is the 10th rank, and it goes from porcelain all the way up to platinum, and that's rank 1.
That's kind of nuts. Like, porcelain to obsidian? Like, what the hell? Like, obsidian's, I feel like we're pretty up there.
Yeah, I feel like it's more arbitrary than anything, because platinum is the first rank, and then it goes to gold, and then silver and bronze,
right,
all the way down to porcelain.
Doesn't make sense. But anyways, I think it's really cool though, like how the parties come together and like, I think it's kind of cool how you kind of find out how they heard of the Goblin Slayer, right? Like, just because he's been slaying goblins nonstop for years, then there's bards, I think there was.
Yeah, bards singing of him and then, you know, remembering his tales that way.
That's like nuts, right? Like, in this world, like, you know, there are bards.
Yeah.
In it, so.
It's a lot of like nice world building. And we also see a bit of more world building when the adventurers around town actually ask Goblin Slayer for advice. So you see that that duo of the mage and swordsman asking him, like, oh, I lost my swords fighting rats. What can I do? And the Goblin Slayer's like, can you fight with anything else? And he's like, no. He's like, can you use a club? You know, stab, throw, break.
Right? But that's, yeah. Was that episode?
Yeah.
That's kind of nuts, though. And it's kind of funny, too. It's like, oh, yeah, if I hit things really hard with a club, they die. And I'm like, yeah, well.
I mean, it's nice that they're asking Goblin Slayer for advice. Right. He's a silver rank, and he's only fought goblins. So you're not scared of the person that, you know, practices 1,000.
Right.
1,000 different techniques.
Yeah.
But you're scared.
The one person that practices one technique 1,000 times. Yeah.
Yeah.
That Bruce Lee quote. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's kind of cool. And I guess, yeah, he would never be able to, or he won't get like a rank up because of the fact that he just hunts goblins, right?
Right. So we see the guild girl ask him to be an observer during a promotional exam. And the examinee is actually this Raya scout. It's sort of like a hobbit or a halfling.
Mm, yeah.
And we find out that he's been looting from his party. So just hiding the gold for himself so that he can buy better equipment.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, yeah, I kind of like it too. It's like, oh, it's not really, it's not illegal, but it's looked down upon. You know,
yeah, it's looked down upon because you're
it's a party.
Cheating out your group of friends.
Right. Which and was...
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Like it's like how that girl actually respects the Goblin Slayer. Like it feels like everybody knows who the Goblin Slayer is, but it's only a few people actually kind of respect him or like they know like this dude has to know shit to be alive this long, right? And just doing the same thing. So
yeah, since people look down upon goblins as this like lowly a monster that just terrorizes people, but you know.
But it's kind of funny though, like for in this world, for a problem like the goblins to be just like lowly, they seem to cause a lot of freaking problems everywhere, you know?
Yeah, it's power in numbers, and also, you know, townspeople are unprotected at that time.
Yeah. But it's just kind of funny though, you know, like there's not a lot of support for people that just hunt goblins.
Mm. Yeah. And for the next episode, Goblin Slayer in Watertown, we actually see that he gets contracted by the Sword Maiden specifically. Yeah.
Because of the bard singing his praises of like how this dude just hunts goblins. And yeah, and like I guess, and that also shows where the government, the local government doesn't even want to send their own like police or knights because they don't think it's worth it to mobilize for goblins.
Right. There's a lot of politics involved in these bigger towns.
Right. So that's another thing that I'm sure we're going to see, like Goblin Slayer probably is going to, you know, crash into a bigger adventure or something that's like out of his comfort zone. But
eventually,
But like just because of how he has learned how to hunt goblins, he like applies that with everybody or every monster, I think.
Yeah. And we see that they go down underground, start fighting goblins. And there's a white alligator. The goblins are actually on boats, so you actually know that they're either learning or someone is helping the goblins.
So that's kind of weird too, right? Like it's like they're such a adaptable pest, and people don't find like, and they're like raping and pillaging villages. Like how are these goblins not considered to be a higher threat, right?
Right.
It's kind of weird. I just thought though that's like the only weird balance issue that I have of the world building.
Mm.
Like everybody's like, yeah, we'll fight dragons. Well, apparently just the town over just got like, you know, infested by goblins, and you know what they're doing. Like, what the hell, right?
Yeah. And it's one of the interesting things that you see in the side story manga where Goblin Slayer is like one of these few people that actually goes out to these small villages and help them defend their towns, either by building up their fortifying their villages at night, and then waiting for the goblins to attack. And I think it's really interesting to see how he grows over time.
Because it's kind of cool. You know, I think he said that the goblins learn, so he's trying not to teach them anything new. Like, you know, that's why he's being very resourceful and just killing them with their own things.
Right.
Right.
just going back to the basics, like, if it don't work, if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Like, I mean, yeah, maybe he can kill things faster, but they'll learn from it. You know? Right. And it's like,
okay, so I'm excited for the next episode because there's a lot of hyping built around it, and I heard it has good ratings already.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I've liked the fight scenes in this thing already. So this it's going to... it's climaxing to a point for a big battle.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's a good place to leave off for this episode of the podcast. Thank you guys for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, we have no advertisements so far, but we do have sponsors. We do have supporters out there.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for all the support, supporters. All right.
So have a happy Thanksgiving and join us again next time. See you, dropouts. Bye.
Bye.